بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلوات وأتم التسليمات على سيدنا محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين، وبعد. So reading from تبيب السالك إلى قراءة أقرب المسالك في مذهب الإمام مالك رضي الله عنه in Maliki jurisprudence. And we have arrived at the chapter dealing with al-hayd, or those legal rulings pertaining to menstruation, and by way of addition, also postpartum bleeding. The relevant chapter in the Tadrib, the book we have been reading from, is very brief, and I think due to the importance and need for this to be explained in a little bit more detail, I'm going to read it from the original text, which is Aqrab al-Masalik, which is what this book is supposed to be a key to, actually. Where it has, I think, enough detail to be more practical in terms of what we can learn from it and its application, especially, obviously, for women who have to, this is a pertinent issue for them. So, قال إمام الدرتير رضي الله عنكم الحيض دم أو سفرة أو كدة خرج بنفسه من قبل من تحمل عادة. So he defines what menstrual blood is, and the reason he does this because he wants to talk about it in terms of what it means for Islamic practice, not a scientific definition, which we can talk about, but what does it mean in terms of the pertinent legal rulings are going to come to apply to it. So he says it's menstrual blood or menstruation is dem, which is blood. In other words, he means red. Aw sufra, or yellow. Aw kudra, which would be sort of brownish, reddish, or somewhere in that spectrum. Kharaja bi nafsihi min qubul man tahmilu adatan. Came out or is excreted in of itself from the from a private area of someone who can normally get pregnant. So he's talking about a woman. And the reason he says it this way is because there are going to be certain classes of females who this is not pertinent to. So a very young girl, and usually they say anything more than 9 years of age can't really start menstruating until about nine or so. That's probably the earliest. So if she has vaginal bleeding, 5, 6, 7 years of age, then we would probably say it's not menstrual blood. It might be some sort of a cut or disease or something of that sort, but not menstrual blood. So then the rules pertaining to menstrual blood are not going to be pertinent here. And they said the same thing for someone who's quite old, who stopped having the period, which would be someone certainly 70 years of age and above. And they said for a woman who's between 50 and 70, then that's something upon medical advice, they can tell her whether she's still getting her periods or she's not getting her periods anymore. And then anyone less than 50, the assumption is that they're still getting their periods. So that's why he says, من تحملوا عادةً. So one who is able to get pregnant. In other words, a woman or a girl who is starting to, her ovaries start to be released, and then that's what leads to the menstrual cycle. So she can... she has the ability to get pregnant, is what he's talking about. خرج بنفسه. Right, خرج بنفسه means that it comes out in of itself, not due to a cut, not due to an operation, not due to some sort of treatment or medication somebody might be taking that causes them to bleed in that way. So something that's for a regular menstrual cycle and not anything besides that. So that's why he says, فيخرج دم الاستحاضة. So blood that flows from the vaginal area that's due to some other reason then is not going to be considered for our purposes here in terms of legal rulings, menstrual blood. Why is that important? Because fasting, praying are going to be connected to this issue. So when a woman is having her, and we'll read about this later, when a woman is having her menstrual cycle, she's not required to fast, nor is she supposed to fast. And she's not required to pray, nor is she supposed to pray. So if we determine that it's actually not menstrual blood and that it's something due to a sickness, then at that point we'd say she would still fast and she would still pray. Otherwise, we would say it is part of a menstrual cycle. So the main point we're going to be seeing here is determining the beginning and end of the menstrual cycle. So we can determine when she needs to start fasting and praying again. And also to determine the length of it, which follows in terms of how to determine the beginning and the end of it. And there are other rulings that come about. So it's praying, fasting, and also it comes up in the case of waiting period and divorce. Because it's done by, for a divorced woman who's not pregnant, it will be done by a number of menstrual cycles. So it's important to know when they begin and when they end in order to determine her waiting period, and then when we can determine when her divorce becomes finalized or still not finalized yet. So all those rulings are dependent upon the beginning and end of the menstrual cycle. وَقَلُّهُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ دَفْقَةً أو دَفَقَةً. So the minimum amount, you know, what is the shortest period that a woman can have? Well, there's going to be two things here, something called fil ibadah and then fil iddah. So in ibadah means in terms of her ritual worship. So he says the minimum could be dafqa, it could be just a drop. And then she has a drop and then she's not bleeding anymore. Then that's her menstrual cycle. For some people that might be the case. Then in this case, she's to, we'll get to this later, she's to do the ghusl, the prefatory bath, and to pray and to fast and everything else that she's doing from before. That's in terms of ibadah. In terms of iddah, it has to be at least a day. So even if she gets a drop that day, we're not going to say that her menstrual cycle is confirmed, except we want to see it count as the whole day. So that whole day would count as a period in terms of how we're counting for the number of waiting, number of periods for the waiting period for the divorce. وأكثره لمبتدئة نصف شهر أقل الطهر. What is the maximum? So we determine the minimum in the two scenarios for ibadah, for ritual worship, and for determining waiting period. أكثره للمبتدئة نصف شهر كأقل الطهر. So there's going to be different categories of the types of women in terms of how long the maximum can be. So a woman, or this is probably a young girl, who gets it for the first time. There has to be a ruling, because what does she do the first time? She needs to determine the maximum that it can be. And there's going to be someone who's had more than one cycle. That's called al-mu'tada, who's already had a menstrual cycle. And then, according to the Malikiya, and I believe medical science backs this up, that a woman can also have a period even while she's pregnant. So then that will be also a different ruling for the one who is pregnant and she has a menstrual cycle. So he's covering the first one here. أكثر مبتدئة, in other words, the one who gets it the first time, نصف شهر كأقل الطهر, is half a month, which means 15 days. That's the maximum. For someone who is getting the period their first time. Because she doesn't have what's called an ada. She doesn't have a regular length. Most women will have regular cycle. So it'll be like 6 days, 7 days, 5 days, within a day or two of that. But for the first time, you don't know what that is. So the maximum it can be then would be 15 days. كَأَقَلِّ الطُّهْرِ, which is also the minimum time for purity as well. In other words, what's the minimum time between periods is what it's saying. So 15 days, just like the maximum period can be 15 days. So that means literally for any particular woman, the maximum amount of time that she is going to be on her period in any month is half the month, maximum, not more than that. Except for the hamil, except for the pregnant woman, it's going to be a little bit longer. But for someone who's not in that situation, maximum 15 days. And this will come up later, but the Maliki school allows for a woman to recite the Quran even when she's having her period, which the other schools of thought frowned upon. And it's Imam Malik was quoted to have said, a woman is going to spend half her life not being able to read the Quran, because the maximum is half the life. So he said, how is that possible, that half her life she can't read the Quran? So he was, mashallah, a good man. No further comment about that. Don't want to get in trouble with the Shafi'i and Hanafi friends. So 15 days maximum. So what happens if she bleeds 16 days? We would say then the 16th day, this is for the one who's getting her period the first time, that the 16th day of menstrual blood, she's not having her period still, according to the Sharia, right? According to the Sharia. Her doctor may say something else, but according to the Sharia, we're going to stop it at 15 days, and then the blood that comes after that, we're going to call it istihada. Istihada means menstrual blood flow other than being a cause of menstruation. And that has a different ruling. That ruling is you're still supposed to pray and to fast and to resume conjugal relations with her husband. So all of those things then will be applicable because now, even though she's literally still bleeding, but it's not menstrual blood anymore. Once the 15-day maximum for the one who has it the first time is happening. وَلِمُعْتَادَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٍ الْأَكْثَرِ عَدَتْهَا إِسْتِظْهَارًا مَا لَمْ تُجَوِّزْهُ. What about the one who's already had a number of cycles? So we have the مُبْتَدِئَ, first time. Then we have the مُعْتَادَ, someone who's already had one or two, whatever number, more than one. What is her maximum? Her maximum is going to be 3 days more than her longest period that she ever had. 3 days more than her longest period that she ever had, as long as she doesn't go above the maximum of 15 days. So let's say a woman, let's look at January through December. So January, February, March, April, May, her period was 5 days. June, it was six. July, back to five. August was four. September was seven. October was six, November was five, and then December was four. Then she gets to January of the next year. And after 7 days, on the eighth day, she's still bleeding. What does she do? Well, the maximum that she had before was 7 days, because we said one of the months was 7 days, even though most of the time she's like six or five. But if she hits seven once, then the maximum for her is going to be 7 plus 3, 10. So if she's still bleeding on the eighth day, then she considered her period. If she's still bleeding on the ninth day, it's still her period. Still bleeding on the 10th day, still her period. Once she gets to the 11th day and she's still bleeding, it's not her period anymore. That's called istihala. So let's say she does that maximum of 10. Then the next month, what is her new maximum going to be? 10 plus 3, 13. Because that's the new normal for her, so to speak. What happens then the 1 month after that she's still bleeding after 13? What's her new maximum? 15. So it's not going to be 16. So you're going to add 3 to the last maximum one you had, but it will never go more than 15 days. So if someone is regular ada, his regular period is 15 days, then she's not going to ever add 3 days to it. So the only one who's going to be adding 3 days, if she's bleeding more than her normal or more than her last maximum one or in her life, then she's going to add the 3 days as long as it doesn't go above 15. So after she reaches her maximum, whether it's for the first timer, who's 15 days, and whether it's for the one who's adding 3 days, any blood after that is called istihada. Istihada means that it is blood that is not considered menstrual flow according to the Sharia. So then the three rulings, the main rulings that concern a woman who's having menstrual flow are now applied. She can fast, or she's required to fast if she's in Ramadan. She's required to pray now too. And she can resume conjugal relations with her husband. وَلِحَامِلٍ فِيمَا بَعْدَ شَهْرَيْنِ عِشْرُونَ وَفِي سِتَّةِ فَأَكْثَرْ ثَلَثُونَ. Now we get to the pregnant woman. Her maximum, if she's 2 months or more, you know, she's into a pregnancy 2 months or more, the maximum number of days then will be 20 days. وَفِي سِتَّةٍ فَأَكْثَرْ ثَلَثُونَ. If she's 6 months plus, you know, 6 to 9, then it's going to be 30 days. What if she's less than 2 months? than the 15 days like the other people. But once she gets to 2 months of pregnancy, she determines she's at least 2 months along, then if she does bleed after that, then we consider it to be a cycle and we consider it to be a maximum of 20 days. However, she's still going to follow the rules from before. So if her maximum period before that was 7 days and she gets it while she's pregnant, she's going to add 7 plus 3, but the maximum she can go up to would be 20. And he says here, وَعَلَمَ أَنَّ الْعَادَ الْغَالِبَ فِي الْحَامِلِ عَدَمْ نُزُولِ الدَّمِ مِنْهَا. And for most people, they're not going to bleed during their pregnancy. But the possibility is there. فَإِنْ تَقَطَّعَتْ أَيَّامُهُ بِطُهْرٍ لَفَّقَتْهَا فَقَتْ عَنْ تَفْصِيلِهَا ثُمَّ مُسْتَحَاضَ وَتَغْتَسِلُ كُلَّ مَنْ قَطَعَ وَتُصُوبُ وَتُصَلِّي وَتُوطَأ. Now we get to the what's called, sometimes this situation is called al-muhayyira, who puts people in confusion. Why? Because she doesn't have a regular period. Some, one day she's on, one day she's off, 2 days on, 2 days off, so forth. Sometimes this one is called al-mulaffaqa too, min al-talfiq, the one who's adding days. Just, you know, there's disparate days and she's adding them. So this is when he says here, فَإِنْ تَقَطَّعَتْ أَيَّامُهُ بِتُهْرٍ. So if she bleeds a day or two or three, and then a day off, and then a day again, then she's in this category, something like that, where she doesn't get to the 15-day minimum, then that blood that comes after a day or two or three is going to be added to the previous days. So if she doesn't get 15 days in between her cycle, so she never gets to the, because 15 days is the minimum, and she's going to know herself, so if she bleeds a day or two or three, and then a whole day, no blood, and then the next day, a little bit, and the next day, maybe a little bit more, then the next day, no blood, what does she do? So this is the mulafiqa. Lafaqat, says, lafaqat faqat ala tafsilaha. So she's going to add the disparate days of bleeding together to determine her maximum. So that means within, let's say, a period of a month or 2 months, she's on and off. If she had a regular maximum before, she's going to look at that plus three. So let's say it was 7 days, and now change in diet, whatever, something happened, and she's now going this disparate way. In this case, any day that she's not bleeding whatsoever, she has to pray and she has to fast. And she has to make ghusl if there's no blood the whole day. And then the day that she is bleeding, she doesn't do any of that. Until she counts up all the days. Let's say her maximum was 7 before that. Once she reaches 7, then she's going to wait and see. Did 15 days come in between periods or not? Or is she still kind of on and off? She's still on and off. Then she's going to add 3 days to that. So then the maximum would be 10. So once she gets to 10, now what does she do? Well, her cycle is finished. And she's going to wait a whole 15 days before she starts counting again, even if she's on and off. Then once those 15 days come by, then she can restart the counter and she can be on and off. What happens in the 15 days in between? Whether she's bleeding or not, she's considered to be tahir, and she has to pray and she has to fast and all those things. So we'll read the commentary too, because it's a tricky mas'ala, tricky issue. So he says, إذا تقطعت أيام الدم فالمبتدئة والمعتادة بأن تخللها طهر بأن كان يأتيها الدم في يوم مثلا وينقطع يوما أو أكثر ولم يبلغ الانقطاع نصف شهر فإنها تلفق أيام الدم فقط. This is exactly what we just said. So if her period cuts off, even if she's a beginner, the first one, or someone who's already had cycles, and then there are periods of purity in between where she's not bleeding, so she gets blood one day and another she does not, and so forth. وَلَمْ يَبْلُغُ الْإِنْقِطَاعُ نِصْفَ شَهْرٍ. But the days of when she's not bleeding never reaches 15, which we said is the minimum amount of purity. So it never gets to that. فَإِنَّهَا تُلَفِّقُ. Then we call her the munafiqa or al-muhayyira. So تَلَفِّقْ أَيَامِ الدَّمْ فَقَطْ. She adds up the days that she was bleeding and ignores the days that she was not. فالمبتدئة ومن اعتادت نصف الشهر تلفق 15 يوما في شهر أو شهرين أو ثلاثة أو أكثر أو أقل ولا تلفق الظهر. هو معنى قولنا فقط. والمعتادة تلفق عادتها وأيام الاستظهار. So he says for the one who's getting a period the first time or the one who is used to having 15 day periods, then she's going to add 15 days, whether it occurs in a month or 2 months or 3 months or more or less. ولا تلفق الطهر. And she ignores the days of purity. That's not going to be counted here. So she adds up the days where she was bleeding and adds them up. Once they get to 15, then it's like she did one cycle in 3 or 4 months. That's okay. That's why we call it the mulafiqa. والمعتادة تلفق عادتها وأيام الاستظهار. Someone who has a regular cycle though is not going to go the maximum 15 unless that is their cycle. So if they've had a maximum before, they have 7 or 8, they're going to have 3 days maximum. Then it becomes 11 or 10 or 11. Next time, if it's still bleeding, then she's going to add to the 11 plus 3 will be 14, up until the maximum of 15. فإذن كذلك متى لم ينقطع 15 يوما. Right, so whenever you don't have a period of 15 days of purity, you're still adding the days up until your maximum. فإذا انقطعها فحيد مؤتنف. However, if you do get 15 days of purity during that time, then the new blood that comes after is definitely her period. ثم إذا لفقت أيام حيدها على تفصيلها المتقدم المبتدئ ومعتادة وحامل فما نزع عليها بعد ذلك فاستحاضة لا حيد. However, if she never gets 15 days, so there's two types here. Some of them may get the 15 days of purity, even though on off. For these people, they're still going to count to the maximum that they're supposed to have, depending upon their category, whether they're a first timer or whether they're a regular cycle or they're pregnant. Then they get the 15 days of purity, then they start the new period and they start to count over again. Then there's the other one who never gets 15 days of purity. Her whole life, she could be on, off, on, off, on, off. In this case, she's going to add up the days up until the maximum, the ultimate maximum of 15 or less than ultimate maximum until she gets to that point. After she reaches the maximum number of days, then she's going to pray and fast and do everything 15 days straight. And then on the 16th day, if she's bleeding, then that will be considered the start of the next period. And then she adds the days and keeps going like this one. وحكم الملفقة أنها تغتسل وجوبا كلما انقطع دمها وتصلي وتصوم وتوطى. So every time she stops bleeding and it lasts a day, then she has to fast and pray and she has to make ghusl. And not part of the day. So if she bled sometime after Fajr, then the whole day is gone, so to speak. Until she checks again, then she has to, in terms of fasting. However, in terms of praying, she's supposed to check at every prayer. Except she doesn't have to wake up before Fajr to check. The ulama said that that's a hardship, she doesn't have to wake up for that. But during the other times of prayer, she should wait and check maybe towards the end of the prayer time to see if she has gotten, her period is not there anymore or the bleeding has stopped, and then she can decide if she's going to pray that prayer or not. But usually it's going to be by days, not by, like, you'll determine like today is pure, the next day is not, and so forth. But certainly in terms of fasting, any bleeding on any day of fasting, you can't fast. وإن ميزت بعد طهر تم فحيض فإن دام بصفة التمييز استظهرت وإلا فلا. يعني أن المستحاضة وهي من استمر بها الدم بعد تمام حيضها بتلفيق أو بغير تلفيق إذا ميزت الدم بتغير رائحة أو لون أو رقة أو ثقل أو نحو ذلك بعد تمام طهر أي نصف شهر فلذلك الدم المميز حيض فذلك الدم المميز حيض لا استحاضة. فإن استمر بصفة التميز استظهرت بثلاث أيام ما لم تجاوز نصف شهر ثم هي مستحاضة وإلا بأن لم يدم بصفة التميز بأن رجع لأصلي مكثت عادتها فقط ولا استظهار. So this is kind of a side issue, not dealing with the issue we just talked about before. But let's say here she had a full period of purity, 15 days. في ميزة بعد طهر تام, and then her period came. If she knows and can tell her period blood from her non-period blood, maybe there's a different. He says there's a difference in color or difference in viscosity, you know, thickness or lack thereof, and she can tell the difference. Then she doesn't have to do istizhar, which is to add the three extra days to the maximum. However, if she can't tell the difference, then she would add the three extra days, assuming she didn't get to the maximum 15 days yet. So she wouldn't have to do the waiting of the 3 days if she can actually tell the difference between menstrual blood and blood that's not menstrual blood. And I would add to this, if she's told by a medical practitioner, this is not menstrual blood and this is menstrual blood, and it fits within these parameters, then that's also something we should take into consideration. And in addition to that, I would also say that istihadah is considered to be something that is some outside of the normal parameters. So it's a type of incontinence. And the Maliki ulama, they said for incontinence, there are dispensations to be done, but they also recommend that one, if they can do a change of diet, or there's some measure that they can take to alleviate these symptoms of incontinence, then they should try to do those measures if they can, if possible. So now he gets to the part about how do we know when it's over? علامة الطهر. How do we know that now a period of purity has begun? He says علامة الطهر جفوف أو قصة وهي أبلغ فتنتظرها معتادتهما لآخر المختار بخلاف معتادة الجفوف فلا تنتظر ما تأخر منهما كالمبتدئة. So there's two signs, one of two, or sometimes women can get both. So either it's dryness, what's called jufuf, or al-qassah, sometimes called al-qassah al-bayda, which would be a white sort of milky excretion. So one of those two would be the sign that the period now has come to an end. So either woman will be used to one or the other, either she's used to dryness or she's used to qasat al-bayda, which is the white milky sort of discharge, or she gets both. So there's going to be different category, different sort of tafsil or specifics regarding each of them. So it says there are two types of jufuf: أي خروج الخلقة خالية من أثر الدم وإن كانت مبتلة من طروبة الفرج. So if she's checking by like inserting some type of panty liner or tampon or cloth or something like that, and it comes out dry in the sense there's no discoloration. It could still be wet from moisture, that's fine. But if there's no discoloration from the menstrual blood, then that's a sign that her period is over. والقصّة هي ماء أبيض كالمني أو الجير المبلول. So he said قصّة is kind of white, milky type of fluid. والقصّة أبلغ أي أدر عبارة الرحم من الحي. And the qassa is also considered to be the white discharge, to be a surer sign of the end of the period than just dryness, because you can have like a false dryness and then an hour later start bleeding again or there's discoloration. So that one is considered to be a sounder sign that it's over. فمن اعتدتها أو اعتدتهما معا طهرت بمجرد رؤيتها فلا تنتظر الجفوف. So someone is used to the white discharge. As soon as that happens, then they know they're pure. Then they have to take the ghusl and pray and so forth and everything. However, someone who is used to the dryness, أما معتاد الجفوف فقط, فمتى رأته أو رأت القصة طهرت ولا تنتظر الآخر منهما وكذا مبتدئة إن لم تعتد شيئا. Also, the one who's used to dryness, then as soon as that happens, you should also take the bath and do the ghusl and pray and so forth. But one who is used to both, so if she gets the dryness, but she also gets the white discharge, then she should wait till the end of the prayer time to see if the white discharge happens or not, because that's her ada or her what she's used to, her routine. So we talked about what's the maximum? And we said the dafqa, we said a drop. for some when we're talking about fibeda, and at least a day when we talk about waiting periods in divorce. And we said the maximum, the total maximum is 15, and the general maximum is going to be 3 days plus whatever the previous maximum was for most people. For a pregnant woman, if she's 2 months or more, 20 days. If she's 6 months or more, 30 days. And then we also talked about the munafiqa, the one who doesn't have a regular cycle, and how she has to count up the days, even if it occurs within several months. Once it reaches her cycle days, then she's going to wait 15 days, even if she's bleeding during those days, and then recount the cycle again. And then we talked about the two signs, either milky discharge or dryness or cessation of menstrual flow. Now he's going to talk about some of the things that are preventives. What can a woman do and not do while she's on her period? ومنع صحة الطواف واعتكاف وصلاة وصوم ووجوبهما ووجوبهما وقضاء الصوم بأمر جديد. So it's a preventive, and what we say preventive means that there's a dispensation. A woman doesn't have to do any of these things, and at the same time it prevents the validity of these things. So even if she did do it, it would not be valid. So what amongst them are tawaf. Tawaf is during the Umrah or Hajj rites, making circumambulation of the Kaaba, because that is considered a prayer. So it's in the same category as prayer, so you have to have wudu. Woman who's on her menstrual cycle can't have wudu. So if she's in a Hajj or Umrah, then she has to delay her tawaf until she's able to do that after her cycle is over. Can a woman take birth control pills to stop her period, and so she can do that? Our ulama said it's okay if she can. If her period does stop, or the doctors tell her that the blood that's flowing now is not menstrual flow, but it's something else, then she can continue to do the tawaf and so forth. And that's, it's permissible. So she can do tawaf, wa'atikaf. Atikaf means to spend extended time in the masjid, wa'salat, and also to pray. Wasawm, and fasting, what would you behuma? And also the obligatory nature of all these things are no longer obligatory if they were, if a woman is having a menstrual cycle. وَقَضَاءَ الصَّوْمِ بِأَمْرٍ جَدِيدٍ. However, in terms of fasting, the days have to be made up, as do the prayers that are missed have to be made up as well. That's where the makeups are, even when she's on her menstrual flow. Prayers and fasting have to be made up. If she didn't pray in the time period, we'll explain that in a second. If Dhuhr comes in and she gets close to the end of Asr and she hasn't prayed yet, but then she starts to bleed at that time, well, she had all that time beforehand that she should have made the Dhuhr prayer. So that is something then that will have to be made up later. But when she's bleeding, you know, all the interim days, she doesn't have to make those up. So it's only the fasting then that has to meet up. But she has to watch for when her period actually starts to determine the prayers that have to be made up in case that she didn't pray them. And they're not considered makeup technically. I mean, there's no ithim, yani, there's no sin, because she is allowed to delay the prayer until the end of its prayer time. But if her period comes before she gets a chance to do that, then that prayer has to be made up.
وحرم به طلاق وتمتع ما بين سرة وركبة حتى تطهر بالماء ودخول المسجد ومسح مصحف لا قراءة.
Then there are certain things that are haram to do while she's having her menstrual cycle. So we talked about the things that are not valid nor obligatory anymore: fasting, praying, tawaf, so forth.
وحرم طلاق, divorce.
Who is it? It's haram for the husband to divorce his wife when she's on her menstrual cycle. Does it count? Yes, it still counts anyway. But if we were under the auspices of a Muslim judge, he would force him to take his wife back, because that is a talaq that doesn't count. And one of the sons of Omar actually did that, and Omar forced his son to take his wife back, because he cannot, one is not supposed to divorce the wife while she's on her menstrual cycle. Divorce is not supposed to be a hasty matter. It's not supposed to be something that you kind of jump the gun and do it. And actually, it's also the Sunni divorce is that in other words, the proper way to do it is not even to divorce the wife during a month where there were intimate relations. If intimate relations already happened during that month, then if you really want a divorce, you have to wait till the next month, not right then and there. So that's kind of we'll get to that in the chapter about divorce, but that's also in the Sharia because it prevents people from making hasty decisions based upon something that may have been that they regret later on. So حرم به طلاق والتمتع ما بين سرة وركبة, and also in terms of intimate relation between husband and wife, sexual intercourse is forbidden, and here he uses a metaphor, ما بين سرة وركبة. So anything that's between the navel and the knees, anything else is allowed. So any other sort of intimate touching and something like that is still allowed when a woman's on her menstrual cycle. It's only penetration that is haram. حتى تطهر بالماء. So when can they assume conjugal relationship? So she stopped bleeding, but she hasn't taken the bath yet, the ghusl. They have to wait until she does the ghusl. Then once she does the ghusl, then they can resume. ودخول مسجد, and also entering into the masjid. She should not enter into the masjid. If, however, the masjid is something that has multiple rooms and multi-purpose room and kind of is more of a Islamic center, as we have in many places in the West, then in those areas where there's no musalla, when it's not the prayer area itself, then she's free to go there, obviously. ومسح مصحف لا قراءة. And also, she should not touch the pages of the mushaf. However, he says لا قراءة, as we said earlier. To recite the Quran is perfectly fine. Can she have her iPad on and recite from the iPad and touch the iPad? Yes. Can she have a book that has Quranic verses in it but is not a mushaf, it's not a Quran because there's tafsir or there's things that are more words than the words of the Quran itself, also is okay. So what we mean by mushaf is a dedicated book that's just Quran. But something that's electronic, or if she's not touching the pages, someone is turning the pages for her, and she's not touching it herself, then all that is okay. There's another dispensation, however, if she is a teacher or a student of the Quran, then she can touch the pages as well, even if she's on her menstrual cycle. In other words, teacher, she has a daily relationship with the Quran, she teaches it to people, or she's a student, she's learning it, memorizing it, and so forth. It's not just for ibadah, not just for ritual worship. Then she has a dispensation to even touch the pages of the mushaf while she's on her menstrual cycle. However, if she's not on her menstrual cycle, then she has to be on wudu in order to do that, teacher or no teacher. Why the difference? Because when she's on her menstrual cycle, wudu has no effectiveness because she can't put herself in a state of wudu because there's a preventive that prevents her from being in wudu, namely the menstrual cycle. When nifas, now it goes into postpartum bleeding, which is called nifas. ما خرج للولادة معها أو بعدها ولو بين توأمين. Or we should say triplets and quadruplets and sextuplets and so forth that we have now. So a nifas is that which the discharge of blood that is excreted after childbirth or with childbirth. So sometimes a woman bleeds first before the baby comes out, then her nifas has begun. So ma'ha aw ba'daha walaw bayna tawamin, or if it's in between multiple the children from the same womb, like twins or triplets or whatever. Sometimes it's not immediate. Nowadays people know how many babies they're having, but there used to be a time one comes out, she goes home, still feel a little queasy, like, wait, let's go back, I think something else is going on here. Got another one. So second one comes out maybe a day later, maybe 2 days, maybe a week. So it still can, if it's from the same pregnancy, then the blood that was in between the twins, so to speak, is still considered to be postpartum bleeding. It's not her cycle. It's not her menstrual cycle, so to say. So it has all of kind of the same rules that apply to height, except أكثره وأكثرهم 60 يوما. So the maximum in terms of postpartum bleeding is 60 days. Some other schools have 40 days, like the Hanafi school. The Maliki school says 60 days is the maximum. So if she's still bleeding after 61 days, then on the 61st day, we're going to say, no, that's not postpartum bleeding. She has to take her shower, or ghusl, and to pray and to fast if she wants to fast, or it's a Ramadan, she's obligated to fast. And the same rules apply if she's the type who's getting one day bleeding, one day not, like in the menstrual cycle, she's going to add the 60 days. So she's going to continue to add those until she makes up 60, and then anything after that will be a period of 15 days of tuhur, and then the new blood after that will be her period. وَالطُّهُرُ وَأَكْثَرُ سِتِّينَ يَوْمًا وَالطُّهُرُ مِنْهُ وَتَقَطَّعُ وَمَنَعُهُ الْحَيْضُ وَمَنَعُهُ كَالْحَيْضِ عَفْوًا. So the same rules as we said for the ones who's mixing the days or adding the days, and the same things that are prevented by height, by menstrual cycle, also prevent postpartum bleeding, also prevents those things. So all the same rules in terms of the touching of the mushaf, in terms of intimate relations with the husband, in terms of entering a masjid, all of the same rules apply for someone who's in a state of postpartum bleeding. The only difference is the maximum has become longer, 60 days instead of the 15 that we had before for someone who's on their menstrual cycle. And that concludes the chapter on menstruation and postpartum bleeding. After that, we will get to Bab al-Salah, beginning with the prayer times, which we'll do in the next session. And we'll stop here for now. Allahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Okay, no questions. I think we're finished.
Nice try.
There's a question regarding the mushaf.
Mm-hmm.
If she's teaching, but this means that she's in Bakr. She can teach when she's not on wudu.
She can, let's say she has not on wudu. She gets her period.
Mm-hmm.
And she, even before she got her period, she's not on wudu. But she's a teacher at an Islamic school and she teaches Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs to touch the mushaf. She can. While she's on her period. However, once her period stops and she's able to take the ghusl, now she has to be on wudu in order to touch the mushaf, because there's nothing preventing her from not being on wudu. What was preventing her before, that reason is gone. So the rukhsa, or the dispensation, is no longer there either.
Does she have to make the ghusl?
When she stops bleeding.
Okay.
And then when she touches the mushaf now, she has to be on wudu, because she has the ability to put herself on wudu. Before she did that.
But from my understanding, the wudu, when we're studying, we said like someone not in wudu. That's good. Yeah.
Oh, yes, okay, great.
Okay, I just heard about adding the days. Does that apply? When does that apply?
Adding days applies when a woman bleeds beyond her maximum period that she got before. So,
but only if there's days in between where she doesn't?
There are going to be two types. There's going to be someone who gets a regular period, however number of days, X number of days, and then she'll go 2 or 3 weeks or a month or whatever, and she doesn't have a period, and she gets a period again. That's like the normal category, most people. For someone like that, some months she'll get 5, another 6, another 7. She's going to look at the maximum that was. Because if she gets to a month where after 7 days, on the 8th day she's still bleeding, what does she do? She's like, oh, my period is kind of long this time. What do I do? Well, I will continue to not pray and take the rules of menstruation up to 3 days more than the 7 days, assuming that was her maximum. So if she's still bleeding on the 10th day, then it's still her period. She gets to the 11th day. At this point, whatever happens, whether she's bleeding or not, she's to pray and to fast and everything after doing the ghusl. The second person is one who doesn't get that, who has like on and off, day on, 2 days off, 1 day off. So she never gets the 15 days of minimum purity in between. This is the one who is the munafiqah, or the one who Yeah, I think a good word for that. The one who adds, no, not one. Someone who takes something from here, something from there, puts them together. What is that called? So, no, okay.
We have a question.
So yeah, so she's going to add the days. So let's say 60 days, February and March. February 1st, before that she wasn't on her period. February 1st, she starts to bleed. February 2nd, she's still bleeding. February 3rd, she's not, the whole day. Well, if she knows she doesn't have a regular period on that day, she should have fasted and prayed if she had to fast. And definitely would have to pray. So that's fine. She gets to February 4th, okay, still not bleeding, good. February 5th, she bleeds again. What does she do? Is this a new period? No, it's not a new period. It's from the one from before, but because you don't get a regular minimum amount of time between periods, we're going to add those days, mix and match those days, so to speak. So since you had 2 days prior that you bled, the first and the second, and now this is the third day, now you're up to 3 days. So we keep going with the month of February. So you count up to February 28th, and you bled 6 days. The maximum period that you had before was 6 days. Now what do? You continue to wait and see until you get up to 9 days. So if after 6 days, let's say you go 2 weeks, 15 days, and nothing happens, then the next time you bleed, it's a new period. Then you don't have to mix and match. However, if that doesn't happen, and you're still on and off in the interim, then I'm going to add a maximum of 3 days to the six. So once I get to the nine, and maybe I'm in March when this happens, then the 10th day that I bleed, which happens March 15th, is, am I on my period? No, I'm not. Now I'm going to go 15 days no matter what happens. So I go 15 days. So March 30th or 31st, then I'm going to look and see, am I bleeding or not? If I'm not bleeding, good. If I do bleed and 15 days have passed since the last time I added up all the days and counted, then this is a new period and I start the counter over again. So then I see March and April, and it's perhaps in March and April and May that I can add up the 7 or 8 days again, and then I get to July and I start over the counter again. So clear.
Don't you need
15
days of...
When I was a kid,
do I? Okay, so let's just go back to February 1st. February 1st, menstrual cycle. February 2nd, menstrual cycle. 3rd, no menstrual cycle. February 4th, 5th, whatever, you have 6 days. Now you're going to wait 15, and there's 15 days.
Once you reach your maximum, stop counting.
Which is 6 days.
Right. No, 6 plus 3.
Okay, but I haven't... So let's say we have, okay, we'll start February 1st. Let's say by February 20th, we've gotten 6 days.
Okay.
Right, and then...
And on the days that you're not bleeding, you're praying.
Yeah, but how do you know, like, you don't know. You have to wake up. I'm supposed to be fasting on that day that I'm not praying, right? How do I know? I mean, I have to wake up 2 hours before Fajr and wait?
No, you look after Aisha. The time that you're going to look is after Aisha, right before you go to sleep.
The night before.
The night before is when you determine.
So the night before, let's say she finds that there's...
If you're bleeding the night before, then tomorrow you're not fasting.
But then let's say she's bleeding the night before, she wakes up the next day, and that whole day, the next day, there's nothing. Then she has to make it up?
If she believes that it stopped bleeding sometime before Fajr, yeah, she should pick it up. If, however, she's not sure about that, then she doesn't make it up. The Fajr prayer, at least.
No, I'm talking about the fasting more.
No, the fasting is fasting has to be before Fajr, not bleeding.
But she doesn't have to check before Fajr if her period is...
She does not have to check before Fajr. She goes by what she sees at night. Mm. That's enough.
Mm. How long does a woman have to go for? How far back does she have to go? You said, like, if she goes back, if a woman has been having a menstrual cycle for 20 years.
Whatever her maximum was. 20 years.
So she's supposed to remember. She's obligated to remember that maximum in the past, her past 20-year history of the menstrual
cycle. No, whatever. Because she's always counting. She's going to know the new number every month. No. Right? If there's a new maximum, she knows it. Oh, now it's 7. So the new maximum is going to be 10. If she bleeds 8 days then that month, then okay, the new maximum is 11. So the next month, the maximum I'm going to wait is 11.
What if she didn't track it
very
well and she didn't the longest
ever? Estimate. I would say she estimates best of ability. Or go by as far back as we remember only, like maybe this year only. Take it from there.
Okay, there's a question here. If the maximum was 7 days and the next month she bleeds 8, although she could have gone to 10 days. So her next month is 11 or 13?
11.
11.
11.
Okay.
Because she's not going to count the extra days. We're not counting them because we said she got to her maximum, then it's 8. And then 9, 10, 11, whatever she's doing after that, it's all istihala. So then next month, 8 plus 3 will be 11, the maximum.
Another question. If a woman wants to touch Quran on her period while wearing gloves?
As we said, only if she's a teacher or she's a student, not for ibadah. Even gloves, doesn't matter. So I think that concludes. For now, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah al-tawfiq wa sadad wa al-afiyah wa an yarham amwatana wa an yaghfir lana dhunubana wa an yufahhimna wa yufaqihna fi d-din, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.